Okay, folks, the time is 4:07, and we'll continue with new business item two, receive and discuss implementing wastewater impact fees for the wastewater service area east of Warriors Path Road. Public Works Director.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Mark Hyde, Public Works Director. Residential development along and east of Warriors Path Road continues to increase now that water and sanitary sewer are available. The city requested Tonoff Consulting Engineers to conduct a sanitary sewer capacity study for the area east of Warriors Pass this past February. Results of the study indicated the Evergreen Fawn Valley lift station located on Granite Trail is currently at capacity. The engineers estimate the residential build-out projection for the service area, including the ETJ, to be about 1,000 additional homes. To increase lift station and associated sanitary sewer infrastructure to accommodate the 1,000 homes, the projected engineering and construction cost would be $1 million. Gary, if you could pull up that slide, please. So this is our my bearings here. This is where our Rummel lift station is here. And so we're talking about this service area to come through here, back towards Warriors Path, up along the ETJ line, and then back to Rummel Road. So that that is where the 1,000 homes are located, or to be located. And it does not include anything very much past Rummel Road. Since development is causing the demand for additional wastewater capacity, staff felt developers should pay their portion of the wastewater capacity improvements required for their subdivision through impact fees. So very simplistic calculation here. You divide the $1 million cost by the 1,000 residential units, would be $1,000 per residential unit. To implement impact fees within a city, a study must be completed defining the service area and the development of an impact fee capital improvement program, along with at least two public hearings. The study will be coordinated through a capital improvements advisory committee appointed by the city council. The impact fee study and the construction of the wastewater improvements would run simultaneously with the goal of having the additional wastewater capacity constructed within 1.5 years. So the impact fee study, and you have a proposal in your packet, is 11 months at a cost of $64,000. And we estimate the engineering and construction to be about 1.5 years to complete that, and it may be a little bit of an aggressive schedule. So we are required, if we do want to do these impact fees, we are required to have a professional engineer or a professional planner develop a study for the city. Fries and Nichols, they're very, very well-known engineering firm, very capable, and actually recommended by our legal counsel because they have done this same study for the city of Waco and very successfully. And I'll be glad to answer any questions for you.
Yeah, Mark, can you, this is Mayor Smith, can you give us some background on Tonoff Consulting Engineers?
Yes, so Tonoff Consulting Engineers, they were the engineering firm that designed and constructed our wastewater treatment plant back in 1991. And they have developed our wastewater master plan, basically this area from Warriors Path all the way to the ETJ limits. We have a study that's available if anybody would like to see that. They've also constructed the FM 2410 trunk sewer line that basically extends down to Warriors Path. And is currently servicing the new middle school and some of the development in that area. And we also have them doing some work at the wastewater plant, the stairwell reconstruction project, the safety improvements. So they've done quite a bit of work for us on the wastewater side.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Mark, all of these, within this area that we're proposing this, there are all these houses, I guess, will be in businesses will be serviced by a city sewer. Is that correct?
Correct, yes.
So the ones that will be imposed with the with this $1,000 fee on a new construct or a new build would be those that are utilizing city sewer.
Yes, sir. Now to be clear, this capacity is primarily for pump stations, force mains, and lines below the pump stations. The development, when they come in into these bare areas, if you will, like in here, they will still have to construct the sanitary sewer lines, the manholes, and get those to the main trunk line.
Okay, I just want to make sure that you know, if those developments are going in those big open areas right now, that you know, there's going to be sewer lines put in there that would service them then, and you know, otherwise, you know, if it was going to be a big lot that's going to have their own aerobic system or something, that they wouldn't be included in that, I guess.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Councilmember Nash.
Councilmember Nash, place four. Good afternoon, Mr. Hyatt.
Good afternoon.
Were there any other companies that were considered for this?
Not by recommendation. I'm sure there are other companies we could look at, but because the city of Waco had such success with their impact fees, and I believe it was for the whole city, and our city attorney was involved with that somewhat, and saw how well and well done the study was for Waco, and so the recommendation was for us to look at Friesen Nichols.
So is that the process, just by recommendation?
Well, it is a very special specified area. It's not a, you know, a construction of infrastructure. It's very specialized, and so we wanted somebody that had a good track record.
If I might on that, when it comes to professional services as well, Council, it's one of those things where it is a lot by recommendation or knowledge and experience that you have with those individuals. By state law, they have some very good lobbyists, and so you cannot bid them against each other in terms of their cost or price on projects. You have to look at them from their experience. Are they experienced? Do they meet? Check all your boxes for the things that you want to see them do. In this case, again, we had very good recommendation from the city of Waco. On the work that they did up there, it was very successful. That's what you have to look at. You can't necessarily look at them and say, well, how much would you charge us, and how much, you know, we as citizens sometimes think of it that way and go, why do cities have to do that? But that's why when you start looking at professional services, there are a number of professional services that you cannot go out for actual bids in terms of how much they would cost to perform the services. You have to simply look at them from their expertise.
Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Fontaine.
Yes, Mayor, thank you. This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3. This is projected into our budget for this year?
No, ma'am. This the $64,000 was not budgeted for last year when we were developing the budget.
So where are we going to get this money from?
The dollars that we have involved in this, council member, will be, as well as the engineering costs, will be rolled back into your impact fees. So in other words, we will recoup those costs in the future. So we would be most likely modifying the budget, probably using a little bit of reserve to cover it this time, but those fees will be rolled back into your impact fees. And earlier we talked about $1,000. We're just using that to give you an example per lot. That will be determined by the consultant when they actually do the review and do as an engineer do that study. So it won't be exactly $1,000. It will be some other number. Because again, the engineering cost and this impact fee analysis will be rolled into that as well. So again, we felt like it was right for the developers, since it only serves them. It's really not serving anybody else at this point. Does it serve our citizens that already live in lots in the city? Since this is vacant land and will be improved, if they want to improve that land, then they need to pony up to provide for the wastewater lines that go out into that area.
Very good. Thank you, David.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Just to tag onto that there, Mr. Mitchell, if there's citizens that currently live within this area that aren't on city sewer, would this be an opportunity for them to actually tie into city sewer as well?
Probably just depends on, out there you have a lot of topography, which would make it difficult probably for a lot of them to get to it. But if there was a lot that was close enough to it, then yes, I would say it would be easy enough engineering task to do that. Again, that area has a lot of terrain. When you start getting into terrain, that really is what impacts your wastewater in terms of gravity flow.
Correct.
And lift stations, and really once you start talking about a lift station, it becomes untenable to really go in and put one of those in just for the sheer cost of those to pump that back over. Of course, you all know the issues you have with lift stations as well. It creates another maintenance issue as well for the city. But so yes, there may be some opportunity for some that are close by potentially. We won't know that until those developments come in and propose their lot to layout and how their sewer lines will run in those developments, and then it will tell us better if there are any that could possibly be low-hanging fruit that could
Would this survey, Mark, be able to provide potential identification of existing homes or citizens that within this area that might be able to tie into such a line and maybe help defray some of the costs of that?
Well, as Mr. Mitchell indicated, it would depend on the future development. We have a number of developers interested in the area with some lot layouts, and we can see the bordering properties. So on those, yes, we could probably help residents to decide if, you know, if it'd be economical for them to.
I mean, because if they're on a conventional septic versus having to convert to a aerobic system in the future, which, you know, most cases you can't just redo the old septic system. You have to upgrade to the aerobic system by the standards here within the state of Texas. So that might be an opportunity for some of those, you know, citizens if they're on a, you know, an old homestead that's, you know, it's their system's at the life expectancy and they might want to upgrade. It might be an opportunity that we could offer that. But that's just something I was just trying to raise to see if, you know, because a lot of citizens, you know, before, like in my area, they were told different things when they were annexed into the city that, you know, city sewer, you know, might be coming. Well, it's there's, you know, we're still waiting out there, but we might be waiting for a long, long time because it's, you know, it is very expensive and it's not a cheap thing. Like Mr. Mitchell said, you have to have a lot of lift stations to get over these mountains around here, and none of that's cheap. So, you know, where we can, I would say take a look at it. Maybe we can help some of these people out and get them tied into city sewer if the opportunity is there. So,
yes, sir.
Thank you.
So once the infrastructure is constructed, the developer constructs the sewer system to city standards. Once it's in, it becomes public infrastructure, and so anybody can tie into it at that point, you know, as long as there's capacity.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, but just point of clarification, it's a cost to the homeowner if they want to tie in, correct?
Yes, I expect it would be.
Okay, just want to make sure we're clear on that. Okay, Councilmember Nash.
Councilmember Nash, place four. Mr. Hyde, since the impact fee study and the construction of the wastewater improvements are running simultaneously, and that means we don't have a developer, I'm assuming, at the time, since that'll be done. So is it hard to court a developer and say, okay, now you can do this, but it's going to cost you $1 million in the long run? Does that cause a problem?
Not so far. We, as I mentioned, we have at least two developers doing rather large subdivisions in this area, and we have told them that the current system is at capacity. They continue to want to develop their infrastructure, the roads, streets, water, sewer, have that already, and they are more than willing to pay, you know, what we're estimating at this time.
Thank you. Mr. Hyde, Mayor Smith, can you discuss that some of the future planning that the city had done as far as infrastructure that had been placed in the ground along 2410 out there, which basically corresponds a lot with this zone 4 that the planning and development director had given us?
Yes, sir. So this is really our last area of development. And years ago, the city council at that time decided to lay the trunk sewer through this area. Just pointer to work. Basically along and up. Part of it goes up into the up into Nolanville and it comes down, and we have a lift station right across from Rummel Road right here. They're in the ETJ. And so with that main trunk line installed, we also have water. We have a 16-inch water line on the south side of 2410 that extends all the way to High Oak. So everything is there, you know, to stimulate development. And we are seeing that now. There's a big rush, everyone buying property for development. So it has paid off for us. And fortunately, we're at capacity now. So
right, right. Well, just to, you know, just another comment on it. I think that's one of the things that the Planning and Zoning Commission, the City Council in previous years had the foresight. Plus, during that time, that money was pretty cheap at that time, and we had a lot of people that really needed to work, so we were able to accomplish a lot. I think the thing is on some of that fire protection that we put out there, we were able to, instead of doing things sequentially, we did them simultaneously because we had the money and the people and saved a lot of time and a lot of money. So the city having that foresight at that time, knowing that was the direction of the that the city was going to be growing primarily. Okay, any other questions for Mr. Hyde? Sir, do you have anything else on this?
Well, just we would like to move forward with the study and get Friesen Nichols started, if that is the pleasure of the council. And as I mentioned, we're a little bit under a time deadline trying to have all of this ready by the time the developers finish up with their work.
Okay. Do we have consensus among the council? Is everybody on board with that? Okay.
Is this something we're going to have to bring back for a motion and for us to vote on? Then?
Yes, Councilmember, you'll have some things coming up that'll be formal in terms of that. We just want to make sure y'all are comfortable with us moving forward.
Yeah,
and we don't have to move forward with it.
Okay. All right. That's good. So we look forward to hearing the next presentation on this as we move forward. Thank you. Okay, next item under new business, number three, receive and discuss the city's new municipal solid waste collection and disposal services. Assistant City Manager.
Thank you, Mayor, City Council. We are currently a little over 4 weeks into our new service. And since that time, the city and the waste management have been working with our residents in continuing the education piece, as well as fulfilling the additional service requests. As you know, the service included that the solid waste collection continues twice a week for our residential customers. Those collection days remained or continued on the same days for our residential customers. The 96-gallon poly cart was provided to each residential customer, and the residential solid waste fees remained the same for our residential customers, as well as the automated side load trucks dispose of the trash. The major change, as you know, is the trash bags. They will no longer be placed at the curb line for pickup. Waste management will no longer pick them up. And all materials must fit inside that provided poly cart. I just want to remind council, you have directed staff to bring back additional options for the upcoming FY 21-22 budget for your consideration on the yard waste, if we will, the leaves and the limbs. Gary, if you would change the slide. I want to kind of go over this handout that's on your screen. And this is basically the requests and corrections as of March 31st with our new waste management card implementation. I'm just going to kind of go through each bar real briefly with you. The very first one, the request for old can pickup. We had 24 requests for people to pick up their old can. Now, this is just the ones that were called in. Some of them just put take me and they took them, and so we don't have that record, but the ones that actually called in to pick up their cans. The next bar is the light commercial hand pickup. We had 20 requests for those. On the next bar is the assisted pickup. We kind of went through this process about individuals that needed assistance in getting their can and wheeling it down the sidewalk. So we have 30 of those currently. The next one is a concern. It was for the broken and dirty carts. Now, up in the left-hand corner of your slide, you will see that 10,637 carts were distributed to residential customers. When we originally had the guesstimate was 10,500. So we didn't have enough carts on hand, or Waste Management didn't, to disperse through our residents. And so what they did is they took some older carts and they started sending them out. So we had 42 of those concerns. We had 225 additional cart requests, meaning we had residents call and say, hey, love the 96 gallon, but we want an additional one. So we had 225 of those. And then we had 98 that did not receive a cart. So that was part of that 10,500, the makeup of the other 137 residents that didn't have it. And then we had 60 requests that said, hey, love the carts, but we want the smaller cart. So we exchanged that out. So what our staff did, Chuck with our street department, he took those requests and submitted those smaller carts, but then took those 60 brand new carts and refurbished those with the broken and dirty carts. So he kind of did the swap and took care of the issue prior to Waste Management having to come back to take care of that issue. So I wanted to show you that. I will show you some slides here shortly, but I've got to just give a shout out to our planning department, in particular Yvonne Spell. She handles virtually all of these calls that come in, and she's done a fantastic job in putting this information together for us. So I want you to be aware of that. Our staff is working extremely hard with Waste Management. So the item for future council consideration. So with all those things are starting to dwindle down. Some of the complaints are dwindling down. People are starting to get what the service is about. But there's a new item that has surfaced, and it's the location of the containers after the day of the collection. Our current ordinance reads, in section 51.18, section F, containers shall be removed from the front of the premises by the owner, occupant, tenant, or lessee no later than 11 p.m. on the evening of the collection. The very next paragraph of that ordinance reads, the containers may be stored at any location which does not pose a hazard and is not visible from the nearest public road. So, Gary, if we would go into the slides. Now, the very first slide, I just want to show you, this was taken, I think, the week prior to us implementing the new service. So this is what we were trying to get away from. This slide. Next slide, please. This is yard waste. So we're still, this was taken last week. So we're still have a few of those. We've got the leaves in there. But again, those are dwindling down too as well. And then the things that are outside the box. This is a fourplex, and I'll show you some other issues that we have with fourplexes. Now, this is 2 days after the scheduled pickup of our, and this is what we're trying to get away from, at least the carts in the street. Additionally, this resident had two of the private carts that were wheeled up halfway up the driveway, but left the Waste Management cart in the street 2 days after their original pickup. And then this was, again, 2 days after the original pickup, and when wind blows, it blows it over. Now it becomes a safety hazard, not only for individuals walking, but for cars too, because it can go blow a little bit farther into the street. Next slide. Now, here's a resident that has two carts, and they wheeled them up from the street, but they put them up by their garage. By ordinance, they can't do this. Remember, they have to not visible from the nearest public road. Well, I will tell you, as I drive around the city and I'm taking photos, that is the main location for virtually all these 96-gallon carts. I will also tell you, my belief is when we originally wrote this ordinance back in the day, that we didn't have a stipulation for a closed container, and so what you would have seen is trash bags sitting out front of the garage, and I think that's the reason why the ordinance was written the way it was, is to hide that garbage and not allow dogs to get into it or raccoons or whatever the situation is. That changed. Thank you. And here's another one. It's attractive. It's out front. It's by the house, and it's clean. Next one. Now, this resident was interesting. It's clean. It's attractive. And go to the next slide, Gary. They actually poured concrete about three quarters of the way up their driveway, and that is the location of their trash cans. Now, instead of going another 10 feet, that was their location. And again, it's attractive, it's in its place, there's no garbage outside the can. These are some of the things that code enforcement are having to deal with now as these uniform cans. Next slide, please. This resident put it on the side of their house, which is fine too, but not every lot, but most lots have a little bit of a slope on the side of their house, and the wind blows it over. So then that's the appearance you get from the roadside. Next slide. This resident, a good friend of ours, lives on the corner lot. So by ordinance, they couldn't put it in front of their house. So in front of their house is address side. So address side, he really doesn't, I think he might have a sidewalk to his front door so the trash can would have to be up by the front door because that's considered the front of the house. Well, he has it on the side. I don't know if you can see it. It's kind of the shaded area. If we didn't allow that, this individual would have to put it in the garage or would carry it through the grass to the back backyard. And so the individuals at the corner lot are the ones that are probably more at risk of not having really a good place to store it. Next slide, please. Fourplexes. By ordinance, I don't know where they would put it. No. I would have no clue. I mean, they can't bring it inside their place of residence. Some of them really don't have an outside. I mean, they truly don't. So this is what we have, and again, this is probably the most attractive compared to the very first slide I showed you. If I don't know if you remember that slide, it had
dumped
and it was all over the place. Next slide, please. And that was it. Okay, so what I wanted to bring to your attention for future council, we've been working with code enforcement very closely. We're going to make a recommendation to council at a future council meeting to consider updating this ordinance. It would be our recommendation or our consideration to allow those trash cans in front of the house. Now, that is our main concern is getting them out of the street, getting them out of the road, the hazard, posing a sightline threat, what the situation. So I kind of wanted just to let you know what we're looking at, and I wanted to get your discussion items and listen to what you have to say concerning this. Because I will tell you, there are some letter of the law citizens that we have that will call us and says, my resident has it in front of his garage. That is not what the ordinance reads. They need to put it in their garage or put it in their backyard. And so I just wanted council to be aware of that. And so I'll be more than happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Okay, Councilmember McCann.
I wanted to say, first of all, I'm guilty because of the same.
you built this sidewalk.
Well, mine's nicely set, but it needs to be somewhere where my 8-year-old can roll it down. So that's important to our family. So I agree with changing that because it's visible from the street. However, it's nicely stowed away, and I'm not going to put it in my garage. So. That was my input on that. But I also did want to say we did get a second trash can, and they're wonderful. So we're one of the ones that have two, and it works out really, really well.
Okay, good. Thank you. Council Member Nicholas.
I was not the one that put the concrete down. Just saying. That's we really keep ours in the garage. But I wasn't aware that they have the ability to get a smaller cart. I thought originally
64.
We said that was it.
64. We requested that citizens give the 96-gallon cart a try for at least 1 month,
okay.
And then make the request if they want, I think, a 64-gallon smaller cart if they desire to do so. And surprisingly, we had quite a few residents that requested to do so.
Okay. But the cost is the same to them?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yep, the trash bag thing is still a work in process.
Yes, it is. Yeah. But it is diminishing.
It's getting
the most
there.
Part, yes.
It's getting there.
Okay, Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Jerry, I fully support the idea of rescinding the requirement for the trash cans being, as long as it's neat and orderly up there by the house, I wouldn't see a problem with it. Mine is visible from the street if you really look, but I'm set pretty far back, but it's back up there. But, you know, I think the intent of the ordinance, like you said, was not so people just didn't pile up their trash bags outside their house or something like that, But with this big 96-gallon trash can, you know, most people can put all their trash inside one unless you have to order a second one, and then you got two of them out there.
We say thank God we have two, like 5 times.
But the, you know, they're pretty durable. They're very sturdy. They are heavy duty. You know, this the wind to blow them over is going to be a really, really strong wind. I don't see them. You know, like the couple of those pictures you showed where they're just laying there in the yard, you know, that's probably just people, maybe the kids just dragged it up there and threw it over. But, you know, for the most part, they're going to stand upright. You know, if you put it up there next to the house or next to the garage, it's going to be there, you know, for you to use for your trash. And that would be, you know, nice and orderly for the community. I'm sure that, you know, some people would love to see the slab poured and put your concrete, your trash can on it. But that's going above and beyond, I think, right there. But that's really nice and it looks great, I think. But, you know, I don't think we need to require the citizens to do that, but definitely allow them to put it up there next to their house in a nice, orderly fashion. It probably be makes common sense. You know, we don't want to be archaic and requiring people to, you know, I like you said, I'm sure there's people that read every ordinance and want to call on their neighbor to say, hey, this neighbor's doing this or that. Well, let's just do a little common sense here and make it easy for everybody. So thank you.
Great. Thank you, Councilmember Nash.
Councilmember Nash, place four. Could you bring up the picture again, the one of the fourplex? And while he's finding that, if we also, are we still working on trying to do a bulk trash pickup, maybe?
We are. Councilmember Nash, we will bring that to your consideration in this next budget cycle. This one? This photo?
The one where it looks so pretty. Where they're all over the place.
Oh,
I don't see
the boxes
how
out. Keep
how
back.
They will have a place to put those trash
bags. It's over on Indian Trail.
That one?
Yeah. Go back. Yeah,
that one right there. That's
there's another one that shows them together as well, but I don't see at a fourplex. Where could you put those?
That I think, you know, when you go back to that fourplex. I'm sorry, Gary. This one. You know, when I originally looked at it, I said, well, I think they can put it behind the bush or up underneath the stairwell, but not everybody has the bush or has that kind of stairwell. Some of the stairwells are right in the middle, right up front. I think that would probably be the best location that they can have instead of just out in the parking lot area.
But they all couldn't do that.
No, but they all can't do that.
There's still doors down there, too,
that is correct.
So when we look at trying to do the ordinance, when we have to figure that out?
Yes, I would agree. And we'll get with code enforcement, and we'll just drive around the city and look at our fourplexes and see what the best scenario. And then, we're going to confer with our city attorney, too, as well. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to be a friendly neighbor to our citizens too as well, and not be the trash police and you know, knock on doors and say, hey, your trash can's in the wrong spot. So I know it is a change, but these are uniform trash cans, and they're more of an attractive trash can too than what most people were utilizing before.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Fontaine.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. We got also the two, we got the small and the large trash cans so that we could accommodate the leaves during the periods of times that we need them. So they work out real good. And I would say that our recycle site has been really super busy, taking lots of leaves. People take their leaves in bags, they dump it, a lot of wood. And they're doing a really good job at the site. So Nathan is doing a really good job making sure that we keep all the recyclables and trash that people may have. So we need to continue to remind our citizens that we have a recycle location and to take their recyclables there. I mean, people come in all kinds of vehicles and whatever they have, they load it up and they just take it there. And we're taking all those recyclables. So we need to make an emphasis that we, you know, do a blast on our Facebook, our bill, and have people continue to take their trash to the recycle. That's going to help them a whole lot. And then I would also agree with the fellow council men and women that we should put the carts you know, by side of the garage. It doesn't necessarily, not in front, but on the side. So I agree with changing the ordinance to support that.
Councilmember Nicholas.
One thing about this picture that we're looking at here, when it is trash day, where do they bring their carts to? There's cars parked in that spot. What would they do?
There are islands in each one of the parking lots. What occurs in most of the fourplexes is that the developer put as, it wasn't even two per thing. It was more like it got nine spots. And then there's a small little jetty island in between those, and then it has the other parking spots. They all put it out there on that little jetty island area.
Okay. Because looking at this, it's like they put it on the sidewalk, but then how does the truck get to it?
Yeah, the truck wouldn't be able to get to it.
Right.
Yeah, but they put them out there. They find a way.
I do want to say that Nate at the he's amazing.
He is.
He's wonderful. He knows us. We come in. He doesn't even ask us. Go on. You know, we've been cleaning up things and bringing stuff out, and I'm not going to get a second garbage can. Sorry, one is enough. But we'll take the other stuff to the trash, and he's great. Boy, is he busy. Wow.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Jerry, when y'all redraft this for it to come back to us, I just ask that you keep the KISS principle in effect so we don't need to make it more complex than it is. Thank you.
Anything else from the council? It's Mayor Smith. Just a couple of things. I think that the as far as education for the citizens, that all zones of the city are not picked up on the same day. People have different trash days within the city. I think there's a misunderstanding about that. As far as when the street sweeper goes through, big problem with those. People are keeping the bags out there in the gutters, okay? And again, we're gonna have a real problem if we have a downpour. That's gonna cause a lot of drainage issues for us as well. I think that on the consideration of the ordinances, that first one, that 51.18F, I would think that that we may want to, in keeping with what we're looking on the second part there, possibly change that word from shall to should. I think that shall is more imperative than should on doing that. Most people are doing it anyhow, going forward. And then the other thing, if you'd like to comment on as far as fourplexes, not specifically, you don't have to give the specific example, but talk to us a little bit about when we get citizens' complaints and due process. You want to talk to that at all?
Sure, Mayor. We do get complaints on due process for individuals that have trash, such as the one that we showed earlier with the big television box out there. We have to give them due process in order for them to take care of that. I know that at times to the citizen can be frustrating because they make the call and they want to understand why the city can't go out there and just pick it up. What we have learned in the past is that we have gone out and picked it up, and then the very next week it is out there again, and the city goes out there and picks it up, and then we're just that, you know, that wheel that keeps going by and picking that stuff up. So there is a process, because what would happen if we went out there and picked it up on day eight, and they take a photo, and the judge goes, well, it's been picked up, and so there's no fine. So it is a cumbersome process, but it is something that we're educating the public when they do call us. It's not necessarily the answer that they want to hear, but it is the process that we have.
Yeah, and just along, without getting too specific, I mean, one that we just went through here recently, they got cleaned up. I came by it today, and it's exactly the bad situation. So I don't know how we can communicate that. You know, so many things with these fourplexes too is that they have the ability to move on some of they have the ability to move it back nearer to the structure.
Yes.
Okay. Than a lot of them are, One that we know, I think the example there on that location there is that the people can move those things back.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and things with the number of parking spaces. I think some of those fourplexes were developed many, many, many years ago before we had our regulations about the number of parking spots per residence that are there. So those are things we deal with. I think that y'all are doing a good job as far as getting the information out. Yeah, we redouble our efforts and sure, get people educated. As I drive around town, the majority of people, they get it. They orient the cans in the right direction. And again, people may not understand it, but if it's 180 out or if it's 90 degrees out, the truck can't pick it up, or it'll end up spilling stuff all over the ground, which is not the option. Plus, the thing is the lid needs to be able to be closed. Otherwise, stuff's going to fly all over the place when the arm picks it up. So there's a couple examples that we see right there. But I think we'll get over, I don't know whether we'll ever reach 100%, because some of that, we're a transient community and we have people that just may not get the word. So that's why I've emphasized, though, is people being neighborly. If you see that your neighbor doesn't understand it, go over and make them aware, okay? Just tell them exactly what needs to be done. You don't need to be the enforcer, but again, all of us can continue to spread that word among our neighbors, and again, we'll get further on down the road with this. Councilmember Fontaine.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3. Jerry, there was two things that I've noticed on Vernalee. As you make the right after Indian Trail, you'll see that there's about four or five bags of trash that somebody's dumped there, right where we normally use to stage on that land. I don't know who belongs that land belongs to, but somebody has just put about four bags of trash right there. And then going down Vernalee to 190, that vacant location that's out there, somebody dumped tires. So we just don't want our city to start looking like dump sites all over the place. So those two locations I've noticed these last week.
Thank you. We'll take a look at it. Thank you.
Okay, Jerry, do you have anything else on this topic?
Mayor, I just appreciate you guys allowing me to talk trash.
Okay, anything? That's good. Anything else from the council? Okay, seeing none and hearing none, the time is 4:48 and we're adjourned.
This conference is no longer being recorded.